Yeah, and if you think about it, cybersecurity's been around, you know, a little more than a decade, but the internet's been around longer.
I know, right?
So it's like, okay, we didn't put security in place and then release the Kraken.
You're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, where HIPAA and humor collide to make learning fun. Your delightful hosts are Donna Grindle and David Sims. Relax. HIPAA help is on the way.
Michelle Lombard from Georgia Spine Orthopedics, and you're listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast.
Thank you for that intro. I'm David Sims of HIPAA for MSPs and Security First IT, and joining me is Donna Grindle from Cardin. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning, David.
How are you?
You know, running on empty right now, but we'll push through.
Yeah, that happens from time to time.
Yes, it does. Life, it has a lot of those moments.
Yep. So today we wanted to dive into some cool cybersecurity stuff because, I mean, I like talking cybersecurity. And I know you do because you geek out over it.
I know. My propeller starts spinning. It's getting out of control. People have to say, whoa, Bessie, settle down.
Yeah. So the challenge always, though, when we start getting to this topic is not getting too nerdy with it so that the listeners that aren't in the cybersecurity IT space can understand what we're talking about.
Indeed. So we're going to do that the best we can.
Yeah. So if you are the IT nerdy person, then, you know, don't send me an email like, you didn't get nerdy with it. We have to appear that, you know, we can speak to all people. So you did have a chance to edumacate yourself a little deeper.
It is important that, you know, we tell everybody you've got to get educated all the time. You can't just assume you know.
No, especially not around cybersecurity because it literally changes every day.
Well, and, you know, the HIPAA stuff, there's a reason that we go to, you know, the different conferences or sit in on the seminars and the webinars. We practice what we preach.
Mm-hmm.
So we constantly get trained so that we can look at things differently, learn from others' mistakes as well as successes, and stay on top of the constant changing threat environment as well as the technology environment.
Right.
So I got to do a lot of that going to Secure World, and then a couple of weeks after that, sat in on this online seminar that Dark Reading did. It was like 6 hours, but it was great. It was a lot of great information. So we're here to share a few of the little tips and trends and things that I learned in those sessions to pass along to you.
Mm-hmm. So before we dive into that, do you have any places you're going to be coming up?
Yeah, I finally remembered to write some of them down. I'm doing the 4 Med-approved HIPAA course, July 24th, 25th, 31st, 1st. It's like 1 hour live workshops. And you can use the code GRINDLE20, get a little special discount on me. There'll be links on the webpage to check out all this information. The North Georgia MGMA chapter in Dalton, Georgia, I am their featured speaker on August the 8th. Wow. And then I'm going to Memphis, Tennessee, September the 26th, I'm a featured speaker for the Tennessee Ambulatory Surgical Center Association, TASCA.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun. I've got several other client trips. I'm going to Chicago in September as well. I mean, it's an interesting time.
Yeah.
I get to do, you know, the song and dance and put on the top hat, carry the cane, tap dance.
Yep. And we're going to actually be doing a presentation on cybersecurity for the Lancaster County Chamber of Commerce on August the 2nd.
Oh, there you go, big boy.
So yeah, we don't, we do a lot of the really, really smaller things. So they're not necessarily events. They're like meetings. We speak in meetings a lot. So, mm-hmm. You know, not necessarily the big one. So that is one we do have coming up. So if you're in the Lancaster, South Carolina, Charlotte, North Carolina area, you can come to the chamber event.
Chamber.
The chamber.
There you go.
Yep. So that is it. The topic for today's episode is coming up right after this break.
Two-thirds of small businesses that experience a cybersecurity breach end up closing their doors within 6 months. Cyber criminals are targeting your practice and coming after your most sensitive data. Visit us online and schedule a time to talk about what you can do to protect yourself, your patients, and your practice. Our website is securityfirstit.com. That's securityfirstit.com.
All right, Donna, let's dive into some cybersecurity tips and trends.
Yeah, I'll dive in. Head first. Just do it.
Yeah, don't put your toes in the water. Let's just dive in.
Yeah, because, you know, it's not one of those things. You're either doing it or you're not when it comes to all of this. And I'll tell you, one of the first things that I thought was super cool and is a guy named Steve Brown, who was worked with Intel, and he's like the... He bills himself as the bald futurist, which is a hoot, and we're working to get him on the show. He's actually going to talk about some of these things with us, hopefully at some point, and the importance of healthcare, understanding these where we're going and the trouble in securing it. So, but the future tech stuff that he showed us, it was like, wow, you know, just wow. It was just really cool because, you know, that is propeller spinning stuff. And showing us all these robots and things that they could do and all the things that are happening with artificial intelligence or AI, you know, common in his Microsoft commercial. He's so smooth and with AI. But there's amazing things happening that are coming to fruition and a lot of areas that you don't even think about, like agriculture. What they're doing in agriculture with robotics and AI is amazing, where it can go through and pull the weeds. It knows a weed and pulls the weed, or it tests it to see if this particular plant needs extra water over the others, and it'll give it a little extra something. And it's pretty amazing stuff, and we've heard a lot about it. You know, Georgia Tech, they have a lot of that robotics stuff, so we get to hear a lot about it around here. But seeing it and seeing the videos of things that they're developing is just absolutely fascinating.
You know? Oh, yeah.
And some of these robots, they, like, walk around like people.
Yeah. Which, what is it? Boston? Is it Boston Dynamics?
I don't remember.
Boston. So, anyway, yeah, they have the robot that, I mean, it does all kind of, I mean, turn a backflip.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know about the ones with the face and, you know, they're trying to get it to do. I mean, it's crazy what they're able to do because, you know, the cameras now, you're looking at 4K. I mean, the level of detail that you can pick up with the camera. So even the smallest facial tick, the computer can see it now. And there's a lot of things that they're doing. So not only is it for using artificial intelligence, but the robots are strong. They, you know, are able to lift things and they can make them very tall. So you're not having to get, you know, trucks and stuff to do lifts. And they've got all, you know, some look like little vehicles. I can't decide whether it creeps me out having them look like humans.
Yeah.
You know, but they're running and crap. I think I like the, don't really care for the ones that they put like a human face on. Not a real fan of that. You know.
That's because you were in the Terminator era. Which I think actually is coming out, another version is coming out soon.
Yeah, who would know? But at any rate, there's some really cool things they're showing. And it, one of the cool things, you know, of many, I mean, there was things that were medical and agriculture and all of this, but the one that I was fascinated by, how it changes the world as we know it. Cause you know, one of the ways that history changes is how you conduct warfare. Mm-hmm. And if you look at, you know, rocks and sticks to bows and arrows and all the way up to what we have today with these rockets that, you know, can hit a tent with a camel in it. But the robot they showed was looked like a tank, and the soldiers walking along. So it's like the soldier has, it's like it's R2-D2, but it's a freaking tank. and it goes with them everywhere, and the soldier can engage it so that when the soldier aims to fire at something, the tank also fires.
Oh, cool.
You know, so it can carry the soldier, it can carry supplies, it can protect them, as well as assist them in an attack. So, you know, you have 15 soldiers, all with their own little helper, and you've got a whole new world as far as what they're able to accomplish. And, you know, for me, the agricultural stuff was the most fascinating, because we know that food is the key element, and water is something we all need to do. And the fact that we can water specifically the amount it needs is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but then you have the AI laid on top of that. And at first, you know, we all talked about, well, the computers are going to be doing everything and the robots are going to be doing everything. And yes, you know, there are more jobs that are going to be done by the computers and the robots. We knew that. That's why we went into the nerdy fields. But I love the things where they're finding having the robots and AI work with humans just like the soldier. You know, it's augmenting the humans. It's not taking over. And there were some really cool things that the thing that I still am just fascinated by and just can't figure it out. But, I have to assume that you, in this case, I wouldn't understand it even if it was my job. But it's using architects. And, you know, architects use those CAD systems. And so what it does is, instead of the architect saying, I need, you know, 15 of these kind of bolts used in this particular section of a building, it says, hey, here's all the things we're going to put in this building. This is the size, the height, the weight that it, you know, and puts in all the parameters. And it says, now I need bolts for that. So the computer goes and calculates and designs a bolt that meets all those needs, can be printed with 3D printer technology, and that way you get it on demand when you need it, and it's stronger and uses less material.
Hmm. Wow.
And it does not look at all like a bolt.
Hmm.
But it, when it designed it, it meets all of those qualifications. So what they're able to do is say, okay, you know, that it changes that need for us to have the conception of everything. We just need to know what we need and what we need to accomplish. And it becomes AI becomes that black box where it figures it out.
That's cool.
Yeah. So this is one of those, you know, where you have somebody make a comment in a session and then you circle around it because it's really important. And the thing that I put in there the most was that AI will have a more profound impact on our lives than fire did for early humans and electricity for the early modern age. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah, that is big. Did you see the article about there's some AI they created to do like a virtual universe, like a clone of our universe, because I guess they wanted to run parameters through it.
Yeah.
And they said that the AI, they don't even know how it's doing it, but the AI is able to map out certain elements of the universe that it was not even given the parameters for. And they don't know how it figured it out.
Wow.
Even the people that created it are like, we don't know. We don't know how it's doing it because it wasn't, that information was not given to it. So we don't know how it's doing it.
See, and that's it. That's the thing that people don't get. Artificial intelligence means it's not just learning from what you tell it. It's learning what you told it and then making further assumptions based on what it already knows.
Mm-hmm.
So it is figuring things out and deciding things on its own that you can't even imagine or think of, or you know it and you didn't tell it, but it got that conclusion on its own.
Yep. Crazy stuff.
I know. So, you know, these are huge impacts that we'll have on everything. And then you tie it all together with 5G communications. And I know a lot of people see 5G and there's a lot of marketing going on around it. But what 5G really means is wireless connectivity at the speed of fiber, essentially. That's very, very simplified and basic. But what it means is that you will have that capability so that all of these devices now are talking to each other constantly. Everything's going to have sensors built into it. And he points out that we're literally looking at billions and billions of endpoints being in place. And just in like the next 2 years, we're adding billions of new endpoints where all these sensors are monitoring for things, where in medical, they can put this sensor in the home and be able to monitor for the electronic field. Because, you know, we put off energy, and you can monitor for that. And even down to, is the heart beating? What it lets them do is you don't have to see the person. You don't have to know anything, but you can monitor everything. You can see them move around. You can see where they're standing, sitting, laying down, whatever. But you know nothing about them. You just know they need help. And you can say, hey, person 45, 6, needs help. Well, that's great when it comes to positive things, but we're not going to go down the rabbit hole of how that could be used poorly.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, so he's taking us through all this stuff. It's freaking amazing and really exciting. It's really nerdvana. I'm telling you, when you get into that, where we can go with technology and you're not thinking about all the downsides like that. But he shows, you know, he gets down the last two slides and he's like, now we'll have billions and billions of these endpoints to protect. And everybody's like,
great.
You hear the air going out of the room. And then he goes, but here's the good news. Everyone in this room has job security.
Yeah, there's that.
And, you know, that's one of the things that they pointed out in another session is that cybersecurity is a new field. And I never really thought about it that way. You know, when you think about, you know, because it is engineering to a lot of people. And you think about everything that we know about building buildings and planes and bridges and all that other stuff you do with engineering, you know. You've had, you know, 100 years or more of people working on these things. That's a lot of historical data and knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we're adding the AI in to help catch us up, but it's only been around a little more than a decade, you know?
Yeah.
So that explains why we have the shortages.
Yeah.
It didn't exist.
Yeah, and if you think about it, cybersecurity has been around, you know, a little more than a decade, but the internet's been around longer.
I know, right?
So it's like, okay, we didn't put security in place and then release the Kraken. We just released it first and like, hey, we'll figure out how to wrangle it in later.
Well, that, you know, that's something we complain about all the time. Security is the second thing or the fourth thing or the fifth thing that somebody worries about when they do anything.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, you know, I still have to get excited about the things. And I believe if I worry about the security today, then I can really enjoy where we're going and how it can help us.
Yep.
Instead of it being our nemesis. Although, you know, cybercrime now is more profitable than the drug industry. So,
I can see that.
Yeah, it passed it like in 2017, maybe 2018.
Well, I don't know if you've noticed the ransomware amounts now are starting to really go up a lot.
And people are still paying them. That's what we just talked about.
I know. And, you know, there was just another one this week that paid, I think it was another municipality, and they're paying hundreds of thousands of dollars. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I was like, you know what? A few years ago, like 2 years ago, you probably could have done that for like $500.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's stuff that we hear about things that we can't talk about.
Yeah.
And there's some big things that we're hearing are happening that when it hits the news, we'll be able to say, oh, yeah, we knew this was coming, but we can't tell you what we knew. But there's more and more of that coming, and it is referencing taking cybersecurity seriously. And I can't tell you, there probably were maybe 4 different sessions, maybe more, on vendor management. Vetting your vendors, contracting your vendors, third-party supply chain management, all of these different sessions at the cybersecurity where all the nerds wanted to go. But every one of those sessions was, you know, full. Because everybody's trying to figure out how to manage their vendors. Hello. Yes, it feels good to be right.
Yeah, and we talk about vendor management all the time.
Yeah. But, you know, there were things in there. And remember, this is cybersecurity people that all of these conferences are not healthcare specific. These are concerns every business has. Healthcare just happens to have some very specific requirements that a lot of other people are like, you know, I wouldn't touch that, but I wish I could say we had to do it. And that's why, you know. But I thought it was interesting, a session with an attorney talking about the contract things. And she was like, don't even get me started on using templates for a BAA so that you've got two business associates using a template that says one of them is a covered entity. And I was like, preach it. Amen.
Yep.
But the points were like, you know, include data privacy and security requirements in your contracts, even if you're not a business associate scenario. Mm-hmm. And her point was that, you know, the Target breach, we talk about it being a heating and air vendor that kind of dropped off the malware accidentally. Now, granted, Target should have protected themselves better from this. But that heating and air vendor had absolutely no security requirements in their contract.
Right.
And I thought, you know what? That's a very good point, is that if there's a chance that you're going to give any data to me in a digital format, I need to worry about your security.
Well, a lot of times people give people access to their network and don't even realize it. You know, mm-hmm. the guy comes in and they're putting things in and he goes, oh, I need to connect to your Wi-Fi, but he doesn't go through the channels. He just asks, you know, whoever's standing around mm-hmm. and they're like, oh yeah, I can give you that. And then you don't even realize that somebody is connecting something that's persistently connected to your network.
Yeah. And somebody was just being helpful.
Yeah.
You know, and how do you teach that in your policies and procedures? You can't tell a third party our Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things get complicated. But another thing in the contracts that they brought up, now asking the questions and all of that, we have pounded that topic over and over and over. And it was exactly the way that we've said this. But again, this is outside of healthcare, and they're saying, ask them about their privacy and security program. So all of the people that pitch a fit, I don't have to answer these questions for anybody else. I'm like, it's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know, crawl out from under the rock you're under. This is supply chain management. It is here. And one of the specifics that I thought was very interesting was, you know, a lot of times the termination agreement says, hey, you're going to have to give me my data back. You know, mm-hmm. They're in the BAs. They're in a lot of other things. But her point was, make it very, very specific that you're going to have to give me my data back. It's going to have to be in this format, and it's going to have to be within this amount of time of me asking for it. And, oh, you MSPs, in your contracts, you should have things about returning the admin login information and controls back immediately upon termination, mm-hmm. not within a certain number of days. And how are those things going to, you know, so worry about the end of the contract.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And we see that, unfortunately, we see that more than we should, where we're taking over a client from another IT vendor, and sometimes it can get nasty. And I'm like, all I want is the admin information. And I'm not even dealing with directly with the IT vendor. I'm dealing with the client, and the client dealing with the vendor. But they just get the runaround like, oh, we can't give you that.
It was the craziest thing when we were, you know, when we were shutting down our MSP and we were helping our clients find other IT providers. You know, we were giving them people we knew, and some went with somebody we knew, some didn't. For whatever reason, it didn't really matter to us. I'm going to help them. And the other IT company is doing all this stuff, trying to be sneaky, getting stuff from us. And I'm like, we'll just give it to you.
Yeah, just ask. You know,
but they never had that happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they thought they had to be, you know, adversarial or sneaky in order to get this information because there's not enough information sharing. And I'm like, you know what? Even if I wasn't closing down my business, it's the customer's what matters. And I'm not going to, even at the end, stop doing that.
Yeah. Well, we've had a couple of cases over the years where we've moved a client to another IT company because they're no longer a fit for us or whatever. And this is weird, but we have never had the other IT company schedule a time for with us, even though we've asked, to do a handover.
I know.
They won't do it. And I'm like,
I know.
What's wrong with this situation? I'm telling you, I want to give you everything that you need to do your job properly. Of course, I want the client there as well, but they won't do it. They will not schedule a time for that to happen.
I know, blows
my mind.
Yeah. And that therein lies part of the problem that MSPs need to get beyond, because the world we are in today, you've got to cooperate and communicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're still not there. It's better than it used to be, but if it's an MSP that's outside of your locale, it's more likely to happen. But if it's close by, these people are so close to the chest with everything.
And it, you know, like you said before, everybody's doing the same thing.
Oh yeah, yeah. For the most part, everybody's doing the same thing, and oftentimes they're using the same thing from you. Yeah, I mean, sometimes they're using the same thing. And doing the same thing. So it's, I mean, there's not like a huge secret in the industry.
Mm-mm. No, it's
but
crazy.
They act like there is. I mean, really the only secret sauce in IT comes down to your knowledge and execution of what it is you should be doing.
Yeah. The skill you have and your ability to plan and prepare.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or, you know, like we were talking before we started recording today, is that, do you have that top level knowledge? So you have kind of a vast amount of knowledge of different things, but you don't have any real deep knowledge of things. Mm-hmm. And so what you have to do is then you have to lean on other vendors to supplement your knowledge.
Right.
And so I think that's kind of the difference between certain IT companies, is do you just have some general top of the soil knowledge, or do you have some really deep knowledge about certain things? And you know, depending on, you know, if you're in healthcare, then you want somebody who has deep knowledge in HIPAA and privacy and security and in those areas. You don't want the people that have the top level knowledge and then they're just outsourcing everything else.
Yeah. You can know a little bit about a lot of things. And that is a way to do it. I did, you know, a lot of things that way. Or you can know a lot about a few things with a little bit about other things. So. But there is a need for, you know, us to look at it differently. And that's one of the other things we're going to talk about is communications in just a minute.
Yep. And we'll do that coming up right after the break. And we'll get into some of the things we learned from the military's cyber session. Does your business work with medical practices? As a medical practice business associate, do you realize that if you have access to patient information, you have to follow the same HIPAA rules as your client? Call Carden today at 678-292-5001 so they can assess your privacy and security practices to help ensure you are protected and prepared. Visit CardenHQ.com to learn more. And we're back. So let's look at some cybersecurity tips about defending networks.
Yeah, I always do enjoy, you know, when the military commanders do speak at these events, and I've been to several different ones where they're there, and, you know, they walk up in their dress uniforms covered in all kinds of medals and all this kind of stuff, so they are intimidated just as they walk up there. You know, you're like, whoa. But here in Georgia, we are a cybersecurity center in Augusta and other areas in the state, which they have brought the cyber defense things down here. And the city of Augusta has gone all in on building a cyber range, which is now, you know, the new term where it's like you go in and you deal with a cyber attack in this closed environment.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And you can actually, I think by the fall, you can actually ask to use the cyber range in Augusta if you're a business in Georgia. Obviously, you have to have a clue what you're going to do with it. But it's got some great stuff. And the military is very much involved in a lot of the stuff. And what they talked about, you know, they of course use a lot of military examples and analogies, and some points that were very telling to me is that You must constantly question any assumption that you're making because it's likely to be your downfall.
Yeah.
And then, you know, just today I'm reading about these VPNs where they're, you know, we heard that a lot of them were owned by the Chinese, but now they've really done some serious research. And like 97 of the VPNs that are out there in the app stores are owned by 23 companies, and many of them are Chinese or countries with lax privacy laws. So they're actually tracking you. And so we've been saying, you know, make sure you use a VPN. You have to now make sure you use a VPN. Highly recommend that you do not use a free one. And also highly recommend that you use, you know, some that have been vetted. And I think now we're down to using TunnelBear and NordVPN. I still have VPN Unlimited, but I don't use it that much.
Yeah. Yeah, I've got the VPN Unlimited, which is by KeepSolid, which is a U.S., you know, American company.
Yeah. So I'm just saying, you can't make an assumption. Well, it's on a VPN, so we're good. Mm-hmm. What's happening is those companies are running the VPN and they're capturing all the information, so they don't even have to break in. You're just giving it to them.
Yep.
Another thing was faith in static defenses has statistically always disappointed. I liked the way that was put. It'll always disappoint. And it was talking about, you know, the French Maginot Line and how, you know, it was actually taking us into battle scenarios, but they applied. And that if you've always structured your, you know, defenses a certain way, your adversary is going to eventually get around those.
Yeah. This is a big problem we have in IT that, you know, the cybersecurity landscape changes rapidly, and we're still seeing IT providers, MSPs out there that are still doing the same thing that they were doing 5 and 10 years ago. They're still only providing certain levels of defenses, or they're providing defenses they don't understand.
Well, it's enough. Everybody else is just snake sell. You know, they're trying to sell you more than you need.
Yeah, we definitely hear that. Because when we walk in and we're having a conversation about a multi-layered approach to security, and we've had people come in and go, all you need is antivirus. And I'm like, okay, no.
that won't even protect you at all now. If you have only that, you're in trouble.
But, you know, quite frankly, we have the same pushback sometimes from prospects and even clients. They're like, well, why do I need this? We have antivirus. I'm like, because the battle is different than it was before. We cannot keep using the same thing.
And that education is a big part of it.
Mm-hmm. You know,
is how do we educate people? And everybody's trying different things to do that.
Yep.
And then another message they brought up, protect yourself from your own vendors. I mean, it was over and over and over that we are rapidly approaching a state that the nerds call zero trust, meaning you must assume that everything can be used against you.
Because it can be.
Mm-hmm. There is no friend. There is only how friendly you might be when you're really attacking me.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the point that was clear, is we are fighting a cyber war. Whether we know it or acknowledge it or not, we're at war.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And we've said that over and over, you and I have. And obviously, it's harder to win a war that you don't even realize you're fighting.
Yeah. Well, it's like the war is actually happening in your front yard, and you don't think about it, which is kind of funny because, like, yesterday I watched the Patriot movie from, you know, Mel Gibson back in the day. Uh-huh. And, you know, there's certain scenes in the movie where people literally walk out on their front porch and there's a battle going on in their front yard.
Yeah.
And that's the way it honestly is in the cyber war. You have real estate that you're on a battlefield with, and there's a war going on all around you, and you will become a casualty at some point if you don't have something to defend yourself.
Yeah. If you're using technology, any technology, you know, whether they just had the thing about the smart home ORVB, I can't remember the name of it. It's one of those smart home platforms.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I don't remember what kind, it's an Asian company. I don't know which one. I can't remember whether it's Chinese or other. But anyway, they just found out that billions of log records are readily available, no authentication required for every one of these billions of smart home devices that has information like reset codes, passwords, all that kind of stuff in the logs.
Yeah.
Your whole home.
There's one of them, and I don't know if this is the one you're talking about or not, but it was a company. It was Zipato, Z-I-P-A-T-O, was one of the ones that had these smart hubs and all that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, they also do these security locks, like the Wi-Fi door locks.
Mm-hmm.
And so the hackers can get into the door locks and unlock the doors to your house.
Yeah.
or business.
Or lock you out.
Yep.
So, but that's the whole point, is that the more technology you use, the more you're either part of the problem or part of the solution, you decide.
Yep.
So, you know, this is no longer just the nerds fight. We need to deal with it. And the point that we're under cyber attacks, I mean, you know, it's in the news that the United States is actively doing cyber attacks against Iran. And we all know that that's happening. And those are called the nation state attacks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the people don't realize, you always think of, you know, I hate the pictures of the guys in the hoodies. You know, how many times have we talked about that is not what the hackers look like? And, you know, some of them are in military uniforms. And these are well-funded and well-motivated. They don't have policies and laws that protect us from them. You know, and everybody just assuming, oh, well, that's not going to be me because I don't have military intelligence or state secrets or any kind of intellectual property. They just want, you know. But guess what? They want money.
Mm-hmm.
They want money to fund themselves. So they'll do whatever they can. And if you don't have information for them, you have information they can make money off of.
Yeah. Well, you don't know if it can be a case of mistaken identity that somebody mm-hmm. is coming after you, or it could be a case where you actually are tied to somebody important and maybe you don't realize it.
Oh, yeah. That's what I tell our pediatricians. Imagine that you are treating the grandchildren of some, you know, big wig at the Pentagon, and you don't mm-hmm. even know it.
Yeah.
So why would you know that? But everybody assumes all of this stuff, and we reference what we talk about assumptions at the very beginning. If you're making an assumption, you should immediately stop and evaluate it. And the more you collect, the more you have to evaluate what they could do. The more data you have, the more valuable you are. And guess what? All that cool stuff that AI is doing for us, it's doing for them too.
Yep.
You know, they have AI constantly evaluating how they can better attack networks, and they're just letting data go into this thing, and it'll pop up and say, hey, here's something that's real easy to get into.
Yep. Absolutely. So, and the company you were talking about earlier, I looked it up, is Orvibo, O-R-V-I-B-O, and it is a Chinese company.
There you go. Thank you very much.
And 2 billion records, yes.
Yes. I got the gist of it. But it's like that, you know, that the people have assumed if they were implementing this smart home stuff, and it's awesome to walk in the door and say, turn on the lights and set the temperature to blah, 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 blah. That's awesome. But I am just not comfortable enough with the world I live in.
You know, it's funny that nowadays people push the whole smart home idea. You know, I want to have a smart home, or, you know, it's a marketing thing and all that. I think it's going to end up turning around where people are going to be like, you know, I'm looking for an off the grid home.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want anything that's tied to the internet in my house.
Well, I there's an article, I ought to go find it, that someone wrote several years ago where they tried making themselves have a smart home and connecting all this stuff, and it freaked them right on out. Because, you know, so I'll have to find that and share that. But that takes us to the next thing about communications, which I was talking about before, is we have to communicate better as cybersecurity people. And, you know, I had some people in a session say, well, you know, if these executives don't understand cybersecurity, they need to get educated because this is the world we live in. And I'm thinking, who's going to educate them if it's not you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's our job to find new ways. And I thought it was a great session. One of the CISOs in the state of Georgia, one of the public health department CISOs, I met last year and had great conversations. And she was doing another session this year, and it was about how to say no without saying no, you know, from a security standpoint.
Fix to say, just ask my wife, she'll tell you.
I know, right? No, she says flat out no.
All the time. No.
No. No. You took a breath. No. But, you know, that whole thing about telling people you can't do something only makes them want to do it more, you know? And we've got to find better ways to communicate those requirements instead of just, you can't do that.
Yeah.
It's not helpful. Just say no does not work.
Well, you have to tell them why, because if they don't know why you're telling them no, then they just assume that you're just being aggravating and annoying.
Yeah. So I love the story that she started with. It had to do with Dropbox. And they had a policy that said you can't use Dropbox for any of your work stuff. And in a meeting, she's like, I really think that we should block this at the network level. And other people are like, but what if somebody's trying to send us something? And yada, yada, yada. And besides, we have a policy about it. So,
yeah, so that'll do it.
Yeah. So here's what's funny, though, is that she's like, I really think we should do this. You know, and she's, you know, mentioned it multiple times in meetings. But no. All of a sudden, she gets a call from a salesperson at the corporate Dropbox salespeople. They wanted to offer them a master account because they noticed they were getting so many individual paid accounts signed up with the state in her departments that maybe it would be easier to manage. And she's like, what?
I can see her face now. Really?
Mm-hmm. Really? Yeah. And then the salesperson's like, crap. You know, but that was the whole, you know, thing that got her on, you know, we've got to find a better way to get people to understand, yeah, you need to block this because just saying no is not going to work.
Mm-mm.
And if you can't block it, you've got to better educate them on why. And if people can't get their work done, then they're going to find a way to get it done one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
So I thought that was really interesting. And either way, it's going to be your fault. Because if they can't do their work, then that's going to be your fault. And if they are able to fix it another way, still your fault. They're either way.
Yep.
But then there was more. There was stuff on using frameworks. And I was thrilled to see a lot of discussion about NIST CSF.
Yeah.
Becoming like the de facto standard. Yet again. Me being right, but it's so far between me saying we should do it and it actually coming to fruition. I don't guess it counts.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even if they don't use the NIST CSF, there are other frameworks out there that are good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so, yeah. There's the SIS 20. There's so much, and it goes to every size business now. So it doesn't matter how small you are, you should be able to pull something and say, this is what we're going to follow.
Yeah. I mean, even PCI now has developed a framework to give to people.
Yeah. So it's there. And, you know, that just is your guiding principles. So just, you know, this is where what you need to achieve. But the other thing was cybersecurity is no longer about defending the network. It's mm-hmm. the devices. You have to do both.
Yeah. Well, the devices are no longer always in the network. You know, used to, all your devices were inside of the network of the business. Well, now with distributed workforces and everything else, you know, you have your network, but then you have your team that can be outside the network. So a lot harder to defend than it used to be.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yet another reason why you can't just put antivirus on a computer and you're good.
Yeah. I know you love that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we even have it where we'll have, for example, we'll notice that somebody's connected to the guest Wi-Fi, and we're like, look, the guest Wi-Fi is not really protected because, you know, it's a guest Wi-Fi.
So right, you shouldn't be doing work there.
Yeah, so stop connecting to it because you're basically jumping outside of all the protections we put in place.
Yeah. Well, and we're running short on time because, I don't know, there's just so much information we have these days. It's hard for us.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hit on just real quick, the dark reading seminar was when hackers attack, and it's talking about how do you respond to a data breach.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of these It was over and over, but the bottom line is, even at the end when they have a panel and they're like, what are your, you know, what should you do? Use multi-factor authentication everywhere you can. Just do it.
Yeah.
Because account credential theft is rampant. And while this isn't perfect, again, you just have to be, you know, faster than the other guy, not faster than the bear.
Yep.
And have a plan. And they use the train like you fight, fight like you train. They were even referring to military phrases and treating it, you know, we're in a cyber war.
Mm-hmm. Are we?
And yeah, that, you know, they pointed out, and we've talked about this before, the plan defines how you're going to manage the crisis and protect the business. And your plan should include things like paying attention to what's happening in the news. For example, everybody today should have a plan for a business email compromise. Because mm-hmm. it's rampant. Again, if you had two-factor authentication, wouldn't necessarily be as bad. And then a really good point that I really loved is that the plan, you know, they pointed out, you know, a lot of people are like, we're going to cut to paper and IT is going to take care of everything. But you got to have a plan on, you know, forensics and legal and privacy and regulatory. But and I love this guy that pointed out it was really an important, but it shouldn't be a 200-page plan. Because nobody's going to use it.
Right. It'd take a day to read it to figure out what you're supposed to do.
I know, right? So, you know, that's why we have plans in place. You know, you have your master contact list and assignments, and then you have your playbook for specific scenarios, and you can always fall back on one of those.
Yeah.
And they're not supposed to be big novels.
Keep it simple. I mean, I would say once you've kept it simple, then go back and simplify it again. You know, this story. There's a story around Steve Jobs where, you know, they brought what ended up becoming the iPhone to him, and he's, you know, I guess they got it down from whatever it was, 8 buttons down to like 4, and they're like, nope, needs to be simpler. Mm-hmm. Got it down to like 2. Nope, needs to be simpler. And they're like, oh my gosh. You know, until he finally got it down where there was 1 button on the face.
You know, and now they're down to 9.
Exactly. So keep simplifying it and simplifying it and simplifying it until you get it down to where it's so stupid simple.
Yeah. And then the last point before we shut down for this episode that I love sharing because, again, things we can't tell people about. But here we are, the week of July 4th, which is a big-time vacation week. And imagine that your CIO, the CFO, the CISO, or, you know, the two owners and the administrator of your practice, everybody that's important is out this week. You get hit with a ransomware attack.
Not good.
Yeah. And so you've got to make sure you've got 3 or 4 team leaders and that you coordinate when you're going to be unavailable to make sure somebody is prepared to put the fire out. Because who would take the call and manage the issues at your office today if you were hit with a ransomware attack? Because you know what? The weekends and the holidays are the number one times that they do it.
Oh, yeah. They don't mind working holidays.
Well, especially most of them are not in the United States. I don't know. Some people don't get this, but the rest of the world doesn't celebrate the 4th of July.
What?
I'll never forget when, you know, you that embarrassing moment of I can't believe that this is an American citizen. We're in Canada the week of 4th of July, and they're doing a demonstration with the French soldiers coming through. They're in the French, you know, the revolutionary time, granted, but, you know, it's French uniforms. And somebody actually says, is this a 4th of July event? And I was just like, oh my God. I had to like move. I can't even be in the vicinity. We're in funny. Quebec on top of things, you know, so you're in that French, very French. Yeah, they loved it. You should have heard all the laughter and French phrases being thrown around.
French phrases.
Yes, we'll just go with that.
That's what you call being French fried.
Yuck, yuck, yuck. And on that, we're done.
I do have a funny story though. Going back to vendor zero trust.
Yeah.
So earlier this week, I'm sitting in a meeting with a client, and one of the ladies in the meeting says, "I want you to know I got an email from you that said I had to do security awareness training because I clicked on something, and I am not doing the training." And I looked at her and I said, "Oh, yes, you are." She goes, "I'm not. Let me tell you why." I said, "Okay." She said, "I got one of those phishing emails that you sent out, and I saw it on my phone, and it said that somebody had charged something to my Apple account. So I called Apple, and the Apple support guy said, 'I'm not sure what it is. I don't see anything on your account. But if you'd like, I'll log into your phone and look at it.'" And she said, "Fine." So the Apple person logs into her phone and she pulls up the email and she goes, "This is the email. I don't know if it's a phishing attack or whatever it is, but I just want to know, you know, are you guys sending me a bill for whatever this says it is?" And the guy's like, "Well, I don't think it's us at all, but let me just click on it to see."
Oh my God.
So he clicks on it for her. Hilarious. Okay. Hilarious. I'm like, can you imagine if our technicians are like, "Yeah, that might be a ransomware attack. I'm not really sure, but let's click on it and see."
Yeah. I mean, I heard a story from one of the CISOs that they had somebody not in a sandbox, and it was a tech person that said, "Let me click on it.
Yeah.
See where this goes."
So, you know, there you go. Your crisis of trust and zero trust and vendors.
Long list this, right there. We're done. Yeah.
Had this been an actual attack on her PC or even something that could have infected her smartphone, there is a chance that the person you called for help was the one that got you in trouble.
Yeah, that was another point in all of that incident response plan is make sure that help desk knows what to do.
Yeah. So I told her, I said, "You will do the training because you didn't call us first."
Oh, that's brilliant.
Anyway. So she wasn't happy. But yeah. All right, that's our show for today, folks. Remember to follow us out, share us on social media, rate the podcast, go to iTunes, give us a rating or anywhere else that you listen to our podcast. We need your help to spread the word. And as always, remember for Donna and myself, the HIPAA is not about compliance. It's about patient care.
You've been listening to the Help Me with HIPAA podcast, hosted by Donna Grendel and David Sims, the show created to help you with HIPAA. For more information or to ask us a question, visit our website at helpmewithhipaa.com. Neither Donna Grendel or David Sims are attorneys, and they do not offer binding legal advice concerning regulatory compliance. The information in this podcast should not be relied upon or construed as legal advice in any way. Consult your attorney for legal advice concerning compliance with HIPAA regulations.